Welcome back. We're diving deep into Culture Mapping 2025 today.
Really interesting report.
Yeah, it looks at how subcultures today can actually give us a glimpse into the future.
It's all about foresight.
Exactly. And by understanding those trends, those signals, it lets us make better decisions in work, in life, you name it.
Yeah, you're right. Can't just react to what's happening now. You need real foresight for true insight. And that's where culture mapping comes in.
So how does this culture mapping thing actually work?
Well, it analyzes subcultures, digs into their values, their behavior patterns, and it's about finding those social signals that often fly under the radar until, boom, they hit the mainstream.
So we're talking about spotting those clues, those little hints that can help us understand what the future holds. Mm-hmm. One example that really struck me from the report was this whole thing about deepfakes becoming normal.
Right.
Remember when deepfakes first came out? Felt like pure science fiction.
Oh, totally.
Now they're everywhere, becoming part of everyday life.
It's the perfect example of how these social signals within subcultures can be so revealing. Look at those online communities, the digital pranksters, always pushing boundaries. They were some of the first experimenting with deepfakes.
Right.
Probably not always with bad intentions, but...
But those actions inadvertently made it more acceptable. The idea that what you see online, well, it might not be real.
Exactly.
So you have these subcultures almost accidentally shaping how we see reality itself. Then you bring in conspiracy theorists who use that uncertainty. Suddenly, the line between truth and fiction gets even blurrier, and that has huge consequences for a world where seeing isn't believing.
The report actually calls this hyper-reality acceptance, knowing that we're living in a world where reality can be manipulated, reshaped by technology.
And it's not just some abstract worry either. The report says 22% of Americans get their news from places like YouTube. And those platforms, their algorithms often care more about keeping people hooked than actual facts.
And when you add to that the fact that a massive 70% of what people watch on YouTube is driven by those algorithms.
Wow.
You can see the problem. How do you tell truth from lies in a world flooded with deepfakes? Especially when the system itself promotes what's sensational over what's real.
This is a huge question.
Huge, with huge implications.
It highlights the importance of critical thinking, media literacy, and really needing reliable ways to verify what we see. But maybe even more important, it shows why foresight is so crucial, so we can understand these trends before they become impossible to ignore.
Couldn't agree more.
And that brings us to another big trend from the report. This idea of a solo society. More and more people are okay with being single. And it's driven by these subcultures that value individual freedom.
Absolutely.
You see it with digital nomads working remotely, living wherever they want.
Right, or people who are choosing to be single, finding fulfillment outside the traditional relationships.
It's a huge change from that old model of marriage, family, the whole nine yards. And we see it everywhere now, products, services, all geared towards single people. But what happens long term? How does the solo society actually change society?
The report dives into that. How will it reshape our cities, how we connect with each other? Will virtual companions become the norm?
Interesting.
Will we design communities specifically for people living alone? A lot to think about as we design for a world where more and more people are choosing their own path.
Makes you realize it's not just technology changing things, it's our values changing too. Like this idea of smart, dumb hybrid cities, another fascinating concept. How can a city be both smart and dumb at the same time?
Well, it acknowledges that our relationship with technology is dot complicated. We want cities that are technologically advanced, smart grids, efficient transportation, all connected. But at the same time, there's this realization that technology has limits. We need cities that can bounce back, that are more self-sufficient.
So not ditching technology entirely, but finding that balance, using it strategically. And the report points out two groups, seemingly very different, who are both pushing for this, sustainability folks and, surprisingly, preppers. It's kind of wild when you think about it. These two groups, one all about environmental harmony, the other preparing for, well, collapse, both agree on these resilient cities.
It is interesting. What's fascinating is that they both want cities that embrace what the report calls tech-selective urban resilience. So using technology, strategically essential services, infrastructure, sure, but also prioritizing local solutions, self-sufficiency, being able to function even if things go haywire.
Not about choosing one or the other when it comes to technology, but a smarter integration. And we see it happening, urban farming, community energy grids, even those low-tech sanctuaries popping up in cities.
Right, spaces to unplug, get back to basics.
Exactly.
And this has huge implications for urban planning. How do you design a city that seamlessly blends cutting-edge tech with these low-tech solutions? How do you create that resilience without sacrificing progress? It's a challenge, but a huge opportunity.
Definitely. The future of our cities isn't just about bigger buildings and faster trains. It's about making them adaptable, sustainable, responsive to what people actually want.
Absolutely. And speaking of changing values, the report really challenges how we think about generations, especially Gen Z. People tend to lump them together, digital natives glued to their phones, right? But it's so much more nuanced than that.
Right, it's not that simple.
Exactly. The report calls this intergenerational animus. It's about the huge variety, even conflicts within Gen Z itself.
So it's not just one big happy generation.
Nope. You've got your digital natives, fluent in internet culture, tech is their oxygen. Then you have others, even within the same generation, who are into analog stuff, finding meaning offline in their communities. And you've got those passionate about sustainability, social justice, while others prioritize, making it, entrepreneurship.
It's a good reminder that we can't just slap a label on an entire generation. Those labels are useful, but also simplistic.
Definitely. We need to go deeper, see the microcultures, the individual values that actually shape how people think and act.
Makes sense.
And this is so clear in the workplace.
Oh, yeah. The workplace is a whole other ballgame.
The report's findings on gendered workspaces are fascinating, especially now with everyone going back to the office after all that remote work.
It's like we're back to square one in some ways.
Kinda, yeah. Companies wanted to boost collaboration innovation with these return-to-office mandates, but it seems like we've slid back into old gender roles, old
Like
biases.
stepping back in time.
It is. Even with all the progress we've made, traditional masculine norms are still so powerful in many workplaces.
And often it's unconscious, right?
Totally. Affecting how people communicate, what it means to be a leader, everything.
And that makes it extra hard for women, especially those who don't fit those outdated stereotypes.
Absolutely. The report had this crazy statistic. 90% of men in senior positions believe women have the same opportunities to advance. But only 10% of those same men notice the microaggressions women face at work.
Wow,
Exactly.
that really says it all. Shows how sneaky unconscious bias is. Companies can't just talk about equality, it has to be real systemic change.
100%.
So we've covered a ton of ground in culture mapping 2025, deepfakes, solo living, hybrid cities, even those generational differences, which are always interesting.
And through it all, we keep coming back to the power of foresight.
Right, like looking at these subcultures, those little signals, they can tell us so much about where we're headed.
It's not just about taking a snapshot of right now. It's about understanding those patterns, those clues, to anticipate what's coming next. And that's powerful. Lets us make smarter decisions, whether we're talking about designing cities, policies, or just navigating our own lives.
Absolutely. And it strikes me that one of the key things here is understanding the why behind the trends. It's not enough to just say, oh, this is changing. We need to get why it's changing.
You got it. We have to dig deeper. What are the values, the motivations, even the anxieties driving these shifts? That's what gives us that real understanding.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into culture mapping 2025, what are some of those big takeaways you hope our listeners will walk away with?
More than anything, I hope they keep that sense of curiosity, be open-minded, question assumptions, because the future rarely goes exactly how we plan it.
So true. This report showed us that sometimes the biggest surprises come from the most unexpected places.
Exactly. From those fringes, those subcultures, most people don't even notice until boom, they change everything. That's why we need to be in tune with those weak signals, those early indicators that might seem small now, but could have a massive impact down the road.
It's about being ahead of the curve. So for those listening who want to dive deeper into culture mapping, maybe apply these insights to their own work. Where should they go?
Reach out to the culture mapping team directly, culturemapping@scenariadnenna.com. They live and breathe this stuff and love helping people navigate this crazy, ever-changing world.
Perfect. So there you have it, a deep dive into Culture Mapping 2025. Hopefully we've sparked some ideas, challenged some thinking, and maybe even given you some new tools to navigate the road ahead.
Because the future is out there, and it's up to us to shape it.